Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York, member FINRA SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. We almost missed the beginning of the show because I was telling you my story.
Yeah, it was a great story.
Yeah, we'll forget about it by the time.
I don't even remember now what it was. Okay. But anyway, it is Saturday, May 18th, 2019, and it is 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York at midnight. And if there is a sporting event on at that time, the show will be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming at our website, sapperston.com. That's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Hit live streaming. And most devices that can connect to the internet should be able to pick up the show live streaming. Also, all of our shows are archived, so if you want to replay a show or you want to play a show you missed, the archive shows are there at the website. And then last but not least is the free economic report by Stone and McCarthy every week.
It is, and it's free. And, big emphasis today on what's going on with tariffs and consumer sentiment, which was explosive. Very good. People are very, very confident. Confident. That doesn't equate into spending, though. They're cautious on spending, okay, which I think is good.
Yeah, but, the interesting part about the report is it does give you a little insight to what's going on, economically last week. And they are economists. They have their opinions. But but they do write in basically English.
No, it's easy to understand.
It's understandable.
A lot of charts, and there's some, it gives you where interest rates are, where they were last week, where they were a year ago. It's a great barometer.
And if you've ever, taken advantage of the free issue, take a look at it. You might find it something that's useful for
you. How do you find it, Peter?
How do you find it? You tell them.
I don't know. You're the guy.
You're the one,
Go on the website.
Go to our website, sapperston.com. What's it under? What's the tab it's under?
It's under Weekly Economic Report.
Is that where it is?
Not weekly. It just says Economic
Report. It says Economic Report. Right. There you go.
I passed the test.
Anyway.
So far.
Right now.
Economic commentary.
Phone lines are wide open. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520 or toll free 800-879-7541. And we do like to talk to people on the phone. It's a little easier to get where they're coming from and what they're looking for. But if for some reason you don't want to give us a call, you can go to our website again, sapriston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and there's a chat box at the bottom of the page. You can type in a question or a symbol. And if you put in the symbol, let us know whether you own it, you want to buy it, or you're just looking to sell it. You think it's time to sell. So, take advantage of the chat box if you don't want to give us a call. But we'd like to hear you on the phone. So 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And what are you doing? You're nodding your head. Is there anything in the chat box right now?
No, nothing.
Nothing in the chat box. Well, we can go home then.
I'm thinking about the Preakness.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
Is the horse that won the Derby in the Preakness?
No.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The only reason I used to watch the next races if there was a chance for a Triple Crown winner. You know, there isn't, so that's it. At any rate, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And considering everything that was going on last week, the market held up, well last week.
I thought so, yeah.
But not a lot of different sectors and individual stocks. And I guess that the administration or stopping any sales to what's that company? Hawaii? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the Chinese phone company.
Big Chinese phone company. It's something like Hawaii. But that really hurt a lot of semiconductor stocks because a lot of them either, sell a lot of equipment, to them, and then any company that's actually manufacturing in China, that hurts a lot of those companies, so everybody's trying to sort out what the effects will be.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I haven't really read, to be honest with you, anything about it. Yeah. I know the chairwoman is in jail in Canada.
Yeah. But somehow we helped to have that happen somehow. So I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. I remember a while back they found some chips, that had been planted, for spying and so forth. And
is there something
equipment.
Wrong with that?
I guess there is. But anyway, with all the trade war situation going on and the other types of news all week long, the market was only down a little bit, so it wasn't really bad at all. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we are having a little bit of a rocky May so far, but nothing dramatic.
Not sell in May and go away, which...
No, well, I think the best thing I read was a guy said that where it's really useful is when the market doesn't do what it normally should do. So if from the May to the October period the market's good, that's telling you it's a very good market because normally the May to October period is, a little weak or can be even worse. And also, normally the period, from the end of October to April is supposed to be good. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't good, that's a warning sign, that something's wrong, because it's not following the normal seasonal tendencies. Right. Okay, right now, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go first to Don in Hamburg. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Don.
Hi. I happen to be tied up in that Huawei...
Yeah.
Well, I own Qualcomm.
Okay.
And I owned it before they settled with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So I made out really well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
There's big gain there. But since they started this thing with Qualcomm and Broadcom and a few other ones off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Well, one of them is one I bought for two clients and sitting there shaking my head now is Skyworks.
Right.
SWKS, that's come down from in the 90s to 70 now,
Yeah, Qualcomm, I mean, it's been dinged, but it hasn't been demolished, like that Skyworks has. The high was 90, and I think closed at 82. It had a low of 80 yesterday. So at 82 and change, I sold the last 100 shares that I had in it.
Mm-hmm.
And sit back and wait, but really, 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 really love this company. I mean, they are the leader. I mean, Intel couldn't do the chip, Huawei's buying their equipment. they're selling this stuff all over the world. I mean, mm-hmm. and they settled the big dispute with Apple.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I mean, they have everything going for it, and except that Trump mm-hmm. kicked us. So, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. One of them is, why doesn't Apple just buy them?
Buy Qualcomm? I don't know. I don't know how much. What's their total market cap?
Yeah, but I mean, Apple can buy anything. I mean, I don't really know what their $88 billion or whatever. Whatever. I don't even know what the market cap is.
Okay, yeah, I have no idea what it is. But
I don't. But it jumped up drastically, you know, over the settlement thing.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Yeah,
but between all of that time, why didn't Apple just say, "Listen, we want to buy you. What? Give us a number."
$97 billion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They could buy him with cash.
Yeah. I don't get it. I just don't. I don't understand it.
No, it could be a monopoly type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know.
It's hard to say, but I like the stock, you know.
No, you've got a good point, because all of these that are being hit, you know, in the end, the companies will figure something out, you know,
as
to what they're going to do. So you just keep them on your radar and try to pick a point, and you might get a real bargain, you know. But you did the right thing, because I was going to say that's what I would have told you to do, you know, get out of it for now and sit back, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I hated to do it.
Yeah, well, hey.
You know. I just hated to do it. I think Trump's doing the right thing by actually hurting this company, because the Chinese government is actually subsidizing this company, so they're the cheapest out there. It's the same thing that they did with the steel, China.
Yes, and the
same
Japan
thing they
too.
Did with all the stuff that they stole, they got from us. And put all this American workers out of work here is they subsidized the steel industry, and everything went over there, you know. So they're doing the same thing with this. They want to be the leader in the 5G, you know.
Well, they want to be the dominant player in the whole world and everything.
Right, right. So he's actually doing the smart thing, you know. And I agree with him as far as that goes, you know. But I want my Qualcomm back.
Well, you may get an unbelievably good price. You know, certainly, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in those, and all of those that have been hit in the China situation should be on everybody's watch list for the good companies. You know.
Yeah, I know. It's just tough.
Yep.
It's tough.
Well, it's interesting because somebody at work told me, and I didn't have a chance to check it, but he said that the trade, you know, agreements that the world has, you know, through WTO and so forth for China were put in place when China was considered a third world country.
Right.
Oh, I bet that's true.
Yeah, it probably
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely true.
So,
but they've set themselves up well. Any company that wants to go in there has to partner with another company of China. And even Walmart is with JD.com.
Oh, exactly. You know. Oh, yeah. And they have to share intellectual properties and,
right,
you know,
and
all
every,
this stuff.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's no open borders in China?
No.
You know, I mean, you hear stories of companies from even Buffalo that manufactured stuff over there, and all of a sudden they took it over. They just re-engineered it.
Kramer talks about it all the time. His father worked for a company that made wrapping paper, and they took the, you know, they just put him out of business, and his father had to go and work for them.
Sure. Yeah. There was a company in Buffalo over here, too, that they started manufacturing stuff over there, and they stole it and sold it cheaper than they were selling it for,
mm-hmm.
and it put them out of business.
Put them out of business. Oh, yeah, no question about it.
I mean, so it's hurt. They've hurt us really, really bad, and everybody just keeps ignoring it, and, you know.
Well, there's no question it was an issue that should have been addressed, and, you know, we're just going to have to go through this, you know. So, yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen with this thing, but who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. They're going to work it out.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to even watch TV anymore because every other minute it's another tweet from somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know? I know what you mean.
You got to see Bill de Blasio. I mean, he's worth the price of admission.
Okay. So, listen, Cisco, I own it. I have owned it. And they look like they're going to be the winner in this thing.
There was something, and I just briefly went past it in Barron's, but something about mentioning Cisco there. Positively, you know.
They only have 3% of their stuff in China.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. That one looks very strong. Nice gap up on, looks like, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Hang on to that one.
That one you would hang on to, no question.
That one
you
hang on to.
Yep.
But, any other ideas? To benefit the, I'm really into the 5G thing, but.
Yeah, but that's the catch right now. You know, like I said, I think we put out, and I forgot, that was a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was. It was some of the smaller players, Ericsson being one of them.
Right. And, but that stock hasn't moved anywhere.
Hasn't budged. And, a lot
Nokia
of
Nokia hasn't budged.
Hasn't budged either. And I keep seeing tremendous things written up on Nokia, and it refuses to move.
They've actually gone down.
But I think, Ciena, has a play in that area, too, C-I-E-N.
Right.
And a company called Adtran, A-D-T-N, but, you had the main play. There's a company called Zayo, which I haven't looked into, Z-A-Y-O, And, so some of those are other players in it. So, and S-G-B-A-F, S-E-S Global.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look into them.
Yeah, take a look at it,
So the last one, and hey, Kramer had them on last night, is NVIDIA.
Yeah. Very positive thing in Barron's on them today.
Listening to that guy yesterday on TV, it was like, wow. I remember it being at 292, and I happen to own it at that time, and the analyst said, oh, it's going to 400.
Yep.
Well, it went to 140.
Yeah, I know, exactly. He was looking at the chart upside down.
Yeah, I think so. I think he flipped the page.
Right.
I did get out of it in the 270s or 270s.
Oh, great, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, he names his dog NVIDIA and all this stuff, but
close at 156.
Great company, but, you don't know. You don't about any of it.
Yeah, but I think you have to keep it on your radar because, everything I read, they're in all the right areas,
Right. Look at Monday's open in the market. It was horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
You thought the sky was falling.
Well, Mondays have been pretty nasty almost every week, it's just.
I bought a S&P put Friday for Monday. just to protect myself a little tiny bit.
Yeah, that's the way Mondays have been, So
Monday's going to be up about 400. So.
Well, but it's only a couple hundred bucks, but.
No, it's a good idea.
It's paid off.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Recently, anyways. Sometimes it doesn't. But I don't put a lot of money, just a little bit.
Well, that's the way to be. Never bet the ranch on anything, that's for sure.
Protect yourself. All right, gentlemen, thank you.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for getting this started.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, have a good weekend. Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you don't want to call us, I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to, but if you don't want to, you can go to our website, saperston.com, saperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a question or a symbol. And if you put in the symbol, let us know whether you're holding it, you'd like to buy it, like to sell it, whatever.
Okay. So in Vera, Florida, somebody's asking about Apple. AAPL closed at 189 even. Want to know if you should sell it or buy some more? Good question.
It is a good question. They are also being hurt by the China trade war thing. They do a certain amount of their revenues, a percentage of their revenues of selling in China, and they do get a lot of their parts from China. So, you can't say. Right now it's kind of, it depends on whether you, as a long-term play, I think it's a great long-term play. And if you're going to be a long-term person, you kind of dip your toes into the water. Don't buy your full position, a position rather, And, right now, it rebounded, and the support would be around 182. And then after that, the support would be around 176. And we'd go down one lower, and the support would be around 157. So take those numbers and say, I can buy a little if you're really interested now. You know, I could buy a little now, take a one-third position, and if it drops down to the low 170s, buy another position. If it drops down to what I say 158, and that's it, and then you own it. I probably wouldn't just jump in with a full position right now, but I think it's a company you want to own.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
All right, another question on the chat box is, Art's on the phone. I don't know if you want to take him. He can ask it there, but he's asking about Cisco. He wants to know what the high target is, closed at 56.35.
On Cisco, huh?
Yeah. Do you want to take him on the phone?
It's Art on the phone? Okay. Uh-huh. Art, how are you doing there?
Good morning. Great. I'm on the phone and I'm on chat box.
That's what I mean. I
have such a good time with this. I really like this chat box a lot. It's like an email. It's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
So maybe we should start charging for it.
Yeah. Now, if I have that TV monitor type thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't mind paying.
No, that's okay.
Like a Uber, a taxi fare.
There you go. Well, okay. You can take
the first item, like David said, about the Cisco, about the high price.
Yeah, you said, well, the catch is I could give you the target based on the point and figure chart, and you'd fall off your chair, which says 90.
Probably 70.
90, maybe. See?
Oh,
that's what that says, you know.
Wow.
But,
I bought Cisco and Oracle together at 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of Oracle early, but I held the Cisco, which was not coming up as fast as Oracle. I sold the Oracle, and I'm still holding the Cisco. I'm very happy with the price. So.
Yeah, right now, looking at another type of measurement, 66 would be a reasonable target next. So,
mm-hmm.
So you're in good shape there.
Oh, yeah. The second item would be, since I do some bottom fishing, I've been keeping my eye on this stamp.com, S-T-M-P. And it was 39.81, down 78 cents for the week. And its 52-week low is 35.25. And its high is like 275. And bottom fishing, you think it would be a good idea to buy some maybe when it hits the low or gets a little below the low?
Are people don't use stamps anymore?
Right, I
that,
do.
Well, I know, but you're in the minority. That's all I'm saying. It seems to me that that's a dying business, but.
Right.
Can't keep.
Well, maybe they'll get another customer after the postal service.
Peter says if you can't lick them, you join them or something. I don't know. They don't lick stamps.
Right. Well, I have the self-adhesive type, so I don't bother licking. Now, does the VIX, when it is a high number and it says there's a lot of fluctuation, does that affect a lot of the stock prices here?
In terms of what?
Their ability to go go higher if it's a low VIX or if it's a high VIX. Does that affect the range of prices?
Well, there's just too much emphasis on that, in terms of if it's a low VIX, it's saying some people say that's complacency in the market. But it's very bullish when the VIX is low, because people are comfortable. At some point, they're too comfortable. And trying to pick that point's tough, When the VIX starts flying higher, in general, it means they're expecting more volatility, and a lot of times that tends to be they're expecting a big downturn, and that's why it jumps up like that. And if the VIX hits a very high level, it usually turns out to be a buy opportunity, but that high level can be anything,
But if you look at the
40,
chart,
could be 80.
Right.
Could be,
back in December, it hit the high.
Hit 100 and something, I think.
No, it was 40.
40?
Well, I'm looking
before
at the
that.
VIX,
Yeah. But anyway, So I wouldn't pay too much attention to it, other than the fact that, a lot of market players play around with it, but they have their strategies based on it.
Mm-hmm. The last item is that Zimmer Biotech, ZBH, It closed at 116.92. It's down 5.55 for the week. I'm wondering why it took such a big tumble. I didn't see any news in Barron's this week.
Well, I don't know. Do you see any? Was there any news on the company at all?
Let's
see. Take a quick look.
Trying to remember the name of that competitor. There's another company that makes these.
Really, no news since May 10th, which just talks
about. I mean, looking at it, I mean, the stock has been in a big trading range. It tends to stop, which it has done over the last few years. Okay, in the 132 to 134 area.
Close at 116.
Yeah, and it tried to get up there. It got into the 120s and came back down. So I don't know if there's any particular reason, but basically for people who hold it, it's been doing nothing for a few years,
Right. Yeah. So I got it as a spinoff.
Oh yeah, I mean you probably had it. Yeah, you're probably in good shape. But like I say, it's died several times in that 130, 132, 134 area. Mm-hmm. So it would have to break out above that area to suggest it's going to go a lot higher. And right now, it's possible, that it could pull back to the 100 area.
Right.
So we shall see.
When you see Kay, will you tell her thank her for me for the mailing she sent? I got a mailing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
A day or so ago. Yeah, yep. It was wonderful. And also, thank you for that clue in on that FinViz.
Mm-hmm.
I put my whole portfolio on it, the ones I had on Yahoo Finance, and it really even is better with the charts and everything.
Oh, yeah, no question, yeah. That's a very good site.
And it prints out beautiful all on one sheet.
Yeah, and you get all the important information about the company, financial information that you're looking for in one little spot, and it's good.
Yeah. All right, love the show. I'll continue to listen.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for the call. You too.
Have
a good weekend.
Good week.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in. There's nobody on the line right now, so do give us a call. And while we're waiting for your call, we will take a quick one-minute break. Be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB at an RIA. Right now, phone lines, as I said before the break, were wide open. They're still wide open. 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And I don't know if we're having trouble with that chat box right now.
Well, I am.
You are? Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, normally you should be able to go to our website, saperstein.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and there's usually a chat box there. And you should be able to type in a question or a symbol. And if you do put a symbol in, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, whatever. So that we can do some kind of analysis on that particular stock. So right now, once again, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
Before I went down, we did have a question on CGC. Person says they're holding it, Peter, and this is...
It's the...
Pot stock.
Supposedly blue chip of the pot stocks.
Close at 44.61.
And, the pot stocks, after they, it seems like, I think the day that it was legalized in Canada, that was it,
It was a peak, huh?
That was a peak, And, you know, everybody bought anticipation, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news, you know, that's that type of thing. So, but anyway, so they've all been under pressure since that time. And if I look at CGC, I mean, if you're interested in the, you know, a pot stock, once again, they are considered the blue chip of that category. Unfortunately, you know, it ran up to, you know, the 51, 52 area, stopped again, you know, made a double top there, got hit and all the way back down to 44. And if I look at the 200-day moving average, at least it's over it, 41.74. So you'd like to want this to hold, you know, somewhere 40, 41, you know, which should be good support for it. If it dropped to, say, 38, 39, then that could be a problem. So if you're interested in buying some, you know, part position, or you've done a lot of research, you know, into it, and you have strong reasons why you want to own it, you know, you could buy some. And but if it dropped to 38 and 39, you'd have to reevaluate it, you know. So, you know, and the resistance now would be in the 52 area. If it were able to blow through that, it could, 59 would be next, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I'd play it, you know.
Okay.
Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Going to go to Victor in Amherst. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, good. I read a good article in Barron's 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Just your opinion from both of you. What's got to happen in the, you know, internal dynamics of the market for active investing to start working again, in your opinion?
To active investing start working again?
Versus passive.
Well, why? Well, you're saying, see, the interesting thing is that what's happening out there is that everybody's buying the same stocks. You know,
right. So
if you look at any mutual fund, and there are, I forgot what the sites are where you can compare how it correlates to the S&P. Most of them, you're at best buying the market. You know,
you might be referring to Vic. You're talking about ETFs as opposed to individual stocks.
Well, active.
I mean active, where portfolio managers, mutual funds are attempting to beat, 60/40 SP 5, whatever. Just of what the benchmarks are. I mean, what has to happen with the market internally where active investing works again? It hasn't. I mean, it hasn't worked for how many years now? Straight running with mutual funds outperforming their benchmarks. You don't see it like you did 20 years ago, where people say, "Hey, it's worth paying expenses of." Mm-hmm. 1.2, and it's not worth it anymore. What has to change internally within the market? That's my question.
Well, I don't know internally in the market. I think what it is the people who are doing the active management have to take a quick look at what their approach is. And I think everybody's, like I say, they're all going the same way, you know. And there are a few different ones, but They have to have a different approach than they've been using, is what I'm saying.
Well, there's no secrets out there either.
Yeah.
With the internet and, you know, social media and, you know, every manager, money manager has got a blog and they've got a podcast and they're tweeting and Instagram. So, you know, everybody knows, as opposed to even 10 years ago, Vic, it was a well-kept secret what they were doing, you know, until they got an annual report, they maybe didn't know. So I don't know if you'll ever see what used to happen.
Yeah, in other words, can somebody beat the market? Maybe, you know.
Well, obviously,
everybody can't beat the market, right? That's impossible.
Well, right. Well, that was, I'm sure if Willard's listening, AII, you guys don't read that. I do. They had an article this past month. One of their guys, O'Shaughnessy, who does some writing for them, mm-hmm. says in order for active to come back, you have to be dramatically different than what's being done now. The problem with being drastically different, that the general public, if you're drastically different and they lose 10 or 100, 200 basis points a year for 4 years, they're going to dump you like a hot potato, mm-hmm. and they're going to go back to passive. That's the problem. But the only chance really for active to work is you have to be different. And like you say, everybody, all these mutual funds that you see what they hold, they all hold Amazon and Visa and Microsoft in high percentages. So what's the point of the general public, me included, to spend 1.2% expenses when these guys are buying, they're basically mirroring what their benchmarks are. So that's what you're saying, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Just thank you. Good show.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great
weekend. Thank you for calling. Okay, now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or if our chat box is working, which I don't think it is.
No, huh? Well, we have information. I can see that people are asking about it, but I cannot at least give like quotes back. So
really, you're kidding
me. Yeah, Art just said his is working fine.
Oh, so. His is working. Okay, so assuming it's working, but you can't see it. So
well, it's this Apple laptop. That's what it is. It's all the bad talking you've done about Apple and Microsoft through the years is coming back to haunt me now.
Well, I don't know what to say to that, but
anything.
You can go to the chat box if we can figure out how to get there now. And that's
no, that, you can get there. And again, I can see people's comments, so if somebody does have a question, we can do it. I just can't post the symbol in the close price.
Oh, okay. So is there anybody on the chat box
no.
right now? Okay, well, what was that all about?
Well, I'm
anyway,
just saying they're
working. Yeah, right. Anyway, okay. So, as we've always said in the market, you know, the key really is to look at the sectors, you know, find out the sectors that are doing very well.
And what sectors would those be this past
would
week?
He
asked.
he tried to ask.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know.
It's interesting. You know what the leading sector of the 14 in the S&P, you know, 14 sectors, is?
Utilities.
No.
You for the past week or how, what's the
for
time
the year,
period?
For the year.
Oh, for the year. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think the strongest sector has been?
Chips. Technology.
Home builders.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They've been strong.
Up 23.1%.
Yeah, never owned
them. And everybody wrote them totally off when interest rates were going up because interest rates are going up. And second is technology, and third is semiconductors. Of course, they've been hit lately.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a whole bunch of sectors that have been doing exceptionally well. There's a site that I go to. It's called marketgage.com. And what they say is as long as the averages are above their 40-week moving averages, okay, and as long as there are at least of the sectors, you know, when once again there's the 14 sectors that they're following, as long as the preponderance of those have had up 6 months, you know, they've been up for the last 6 months, and that's the case. It's a bull market, according to them, you know. So the sign says, you know, it's still a bull market. You know, it's subject to a lot of volatility because of social media, the tweeting, trade wars, this type of thing. And there's always a lot of things to worry about. But, I mean, the indications are it's still a bull market. And then they have other ways of measuring. You know, they're giving a warning on semiconductors and a warning on technology, warning on industrials, because they've all dropped below certain moving averages, mm-hmm. you know. So, if you go try to find what sectors are doing well or starting to come on doing well, then, you know, research the top stocks in those sectors. Everybody tends to do it backwards. They do it looking for a stock first, you know.
Yeah.
But look at the sectors, you know. And if you see several stocks doing well in a particular sector, you should take a look in that area, you know, and then do your own research, as we always say, you know. So,
we do have something on the chat box, Peter. It's a philosophical question. So, yeah. Judy from Buffalo asks, "What needs to change to have restrictions on computerized trading based on AI, for those of you in California, that's artificial intelligence, derived algorithms, creates massive movements?"
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, and supposedly, all right, they've done studies into this.
Mm-hmm.
What would have to change is they would have to come up with definitive evidence that this is really hampering the market, really mm-hmm. doing a lot of damage to the market. See, the one side of it is that, yeah, I mean, these algorithms coming in, these buy and sell programs, you know, create a lot of volatility intraday. They don't affect the long-term trend, though, but they create a lot of volatility day-to-day, week-to-week, whatever. But the other side of the coin is they create a lot of liquidity for the market.
Right. I think the reason why you don't see more negative reaction to this is I don't think they negatively affect individual stocks.
Why not?
Because they haven't.
Well, in other words, on any given day when they mass sell, they sell a basket. So you're just saying one particular company, but they sell a whole bunch of stocks.
Correct.
Off, yeah,
but, no question. I mean, if it was usually when the authorities, regulatory authorities, get involved is when there's a huge purchase of puts prior to bad news coming out, or a huge purchase of calls prior to good news coming, that type of thing. I don't know if they have the ability to really track what Judy's talking about.
It's but still they don't have, you know, it does not affect the longer term trend of the market, does not affect the longer term trend of a good stock.
I think that's a cop out.
No, it's not. It doesn't affect that. And it was done. I remember several years ago, we used to place orders through, I forget what you call these firms, where they would take the order, and when they used to have the 8-point spread, they would play it for the 8-point spread. They said, okay, we'll buy it for you. And then they'd sell it to somebody and try to make an eighth of a point on it. They were doing it back then, but they didn't have the quick computerized speeds to do that.
Let's call them ghost firms.
Yeah, no, I forgot what the title was. But it was done a long time ago, but not as fast, so... so, you know, it's something you have to live with until somebody comes up and can prove that it's destroying the market somehow.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so very good question. Yep. So that was that.
That's it.
We're done?
I don't have anything
else.
Can I
go home? 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Maybe everybody's out mowing the lawn now. It's hard to say, right?
It's sunny out.
Yeah,
I
know.
It's going to be 65.
Exactly. But anyway,
You want to talk about tariffs, Ernie?
Well, I don't know anything about tariffs. Although, if you
never
get...
stopped you talking about things before.
That I don't know about? I was going to say, in this weekend's Barron's, there's a good write-up about the tariff situation, the ins and outs, and, you know, if you're really interested in finding what it's all about.
The tariffs?
Good. Type of thing, you know, and telling you, you know, is it really going to matter, you know, and, you know, some companies.
Says here it costs Americans, if they're going through as proposal, costs the average American $500 per household. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, it all depends. If you know, the companies that people buy their products now, no matter what, do and can pass the full impact on to the consumer.
Yeah, it depends what you're buying.
And it depends what it is, you know, and other companies that you don't, you know, you know.
So I own hundreds of apartment buildings, and I continually have to buy new washers and dryers. That's going to cost me more than the average person that buys them every, I guess they last 10 years now is what I'm told, so I don't know.
Right, whatever, supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a throwaway society. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, if you're looking into a good discussion, you know, pick up a copy of this weekend's Barron's, and it'll give you some insight into all the possibilities. You know,
but the underlying sleeping dog is not the tariffs; it's the stealing of all our intelligence, all our products that they're able just to buy it and copy it. You know, and people want cheaper. It's simple. I mean, we're all that way. We want to buy cheaper. But
I don't know how easy it really is to stop stealing intellectual property and this type of thing. I think we're trying to slow it down, you know.
At least they're shedding some light
But they are shedding some light on it, no question about it. So, and, you know, the markets went down a couple of percent, you know, I forgot from its all-time high. It's, you know, not like
it's
world
close,
has come
right
to the end. And you do get some sector rotation out there, and the trade war is considering, you know, causing some rotation. You know, like I say, the semiconductor area, even though it's up 21% for the year.
Yeah, but the news late Friday was that the talks had broken down.
Was it really?
That was the news late Friday. The young lady that covers Washington for CNBC, can't remember her name. Anyway, she came out and said, yeah, there's a breakdown in the talks. Now, that hasn't been widely covered, but the market did start selling off. It was around 3 o'clock when that news came out, but I haven't seen any further headlines.
Well, as we discussed earlier, you know, Mondays have been not pleasant in general. So, if you see a good up Monday with no news, that would be a very bullish sign, to say the least, you know. So, because the pattern has been, you know, negative Mondays. And they used to say years ago, I don't know if it works anymore, that the pattern in a bull market is a weak beginning and a strong ending to a week, whereas in a bear market, it's usually a strong beginning and a weak ending. You know, so whether that still holds true, I don't know. I haven't paid a lot
of
attention.
Plus, there's a plethora of new issues that are out there.
Plethora.
You know this Pinterest?
What is the thing? Yeah, I had bought some for a couple of clients.
Yeah, so I asked my wife. I said, because she's on
Facebook.
They
all love it. Yeah.
I said, what is this? She goes, I don't know. Our daughter-in-law pinned us or wanted me to be pinned on some. She goes, my wife doesn't understand. I don't understand it either, but I guess it's not invasive and they don't steal your privacy. They're not Facebook, let's say.
No, it's, I forget what, but basically it had a lot of not artsy stuff. I'm trying to think of what it was. We'd have patterns and stuff you could get involved with, okay?
Oh, clothing and stuff
No, not clothing. You know, it's
collectibles?
No, not even collectibles.
Don't get mad at me. No. Because I don't know what you're thinking.
Somebody who's using Pinterest should give us a call.
Pinterest. But did you hear what was her name? From Facebook was on and being interviewed too on CNBC, their COO.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was basically, I thought she was very condescending. It's like, China does this too. It's like, when you got caught doing something when you were a kid and you tried to blame your good friend who's also jumping off bridges or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, I thought it was terrible, her explanation for things. Well, this is allowed in China. Why can't we do it? And instead of admitting some problem.
Well, I was almost going to say that. I was going to say, you don't think some European companies steal property and, that never happens.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's the world we live in that technology has, created this, to say the least.
And speaking of the trade war with China, we have a question on the chat box. Why did the trade war have such a negative effect on cannabis?
On cannabis?
Yeah, I don't know if it did or didn't.
I don't know if it did or didn't either. They did mention that, surprisingly, in this weekend's Barron's, the effect. But what they were talking about was, I forgot what the name of the company was that actually makes packaging and so forth. And a lot of them
3M?
No. It's a name you don't know.
Okay.
And
obviously.
Yeah, but but these companies buy the packaging products and from China.
Okay.
So now, why it would have affected a cannabis stock itself?
The packaging they use.
It's hard to say. It would only be companies. And I don't know that much about the cannabis industry, to tell you the truth, but. But the bottom line is it would only be if they're either buying part of the equipment they need from China or they're buying some of the product that they need for packaging their product, whatever, that could affect them. But I don't know if it was just more of, cannabis stocks. When people get nervous, they're in the speculative category. It's the old risk on, risk off. People want to take risk off and it kind of affects those companies that are considered risky. So that's about all I can figure out.
Right.
But anyway, give us a call. 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. I was trying to find years ago, I did, a thing about this Chinese, it was in a book or something, where they were explaining how, you put words on, so you call something that was bad, but then it turned out because something bad happened, it turned into something good, But then the good thing turned into something bad, and they kept going back and forth. And mm-hmm. I was talking to this girl, and I think she was telling me about her mother or her grandmother, and one of them had fallen down, you know, mm-hmm. and broke something in the leg area, whatever. Took her to the hospital. They did an X-ray. They said, oh, my God, you know, she broke her leg or whatever she did. That's bad. Well, it turned out to be good because when they did the X-ray, they found out she had uterine cancer.
Mm.
And it was in the early stages, and they cured it.
I see what you're saying.
So in other words, you'll go, oh, my God, that's bad. But then all of a sudden, the effect of it turns out it caused something good to happen.
Gotcha.
So anyway, so we're going to go to Brian in where?
Pike, New York. Beautiful
Pike New York. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Do you guys happen to know where Pike is?
Sure, absolutely. It's in New York State.
No kidding.
It's in New York State.
I have absolutely.
It's in the Southern Tier.
I have absolutely no idea, but where is it?
It's down in the corner of Wyoming County, out by Letchworth State Park.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yes. There we go.
I have heard of it. So yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to just run a scenario by you and see if I'm missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm contemplating paying off my mortgage with a loan from my 401k, which is maxed out for the year. And the fact that it's maxed out would be the only reason it made any sense. But is that...
You're saying that because that extra money or money, I don't understand what maxed out has to do with paying off. Because you have extra money? No. Because you're taking it from the 401k. Go ahead. I don't understand that theory. But
yeah, what do you mean? So, it's maxed out in the sense that you put all you can in it? Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct. Yeah. And so the amount I'd be borrowing would equal to that at which I was putting in the first 6 months of the year. So,
well, I think it's more a case of interest rates. And, of course, I don't know what your plan has, but you have to pay the plan back at a reasonable rate of interest.
Correct.
And you have to determine. What is it?
6.5%.
And what's your mortgage?
Like $700 some odd.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
what's the percentage rate
on your mortgage?
Oh, 4 and change.
So you're paying 2.5% more. You're not able to deduct it, but you're paying yourself back. Is that what you're
Correct.
Thinking? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to. And do you know what the term? I mean, how much time you have to left to pay on the mortgage?
I'd have roughly 7 years, 6.5 years.
So you're paying. You should get a break. I'm just saying these are things you should look at. You should get a breakdown from your bank of your principal and interest because you're probably paying mostly principal.
Correct.
I don't think there's a great deal to gain by doing what you're talking about, but
okay.
I would crunch those numbers, you know, based on the fact that you're paying back just principal. The interest you're paying is very little, depending on the term of your mortgage. Was it a 30-year mortgage?
It was a refinanced to a 15 in 2010.
Okay, so yeah, I would check and see how much interest, and then. You know, maybe you want to throw it at your accountant and say, what do you think about this? But so you're paying 2.5% more, but you're paying it to yourself. So you follow me, Pete?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I agree with you. But the only thing I was thinking about was, you know, sometimes, you know, why would you want to do it, you know, in terms of do you feel more comfortable if your mortgage is paid off or?
Well, certainly, with some other oncoming obligations, college tuition and vehicles and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. So, because a lot of times we say, you know, if it's a more comfort reason with other reasons, you may want to do it, you know. Because you are paying yourself back. You
right.
know,
so. And it may make more sense with it a 15-year mortgage than I was thinking 30. But, again, those are things you want to consider.
Yeah, I wanted to run it by you and see if I was crazy. I can pay it back in a year's time, you know, the loan.
Mm. That's it.
And not have lost anything in terms of my contribution to the retirement.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You're not crazy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Have
Thank you very
weekend.
Much for
Good
calling.
Call.
Yeah, thank you. What time is it there anyway?
It is 10:56.
Oh, end of the show coming up. Anyway, boy, that
43.
Was a, anyway, time flies when you're having fun there, that's for sure. But anyway, as we always do say, do your own research. You know, make sure anything you hear about, you don't just jump into it, but you you look into it and make sure it's suitable for you.
Sure.
And, you know, suitable financially, suitable psychologically, whatever, you know.
Yeah, tax implications.
Yeah, exactly. And as we always say, you know, that you should always keep a little powder dry in this market, you know, and the trade war is giving you opportunities, you know. So you should make a list of companies either you would like to own, or you always were watching for a long time and looking for an opportunity, and it, you know, you have the potential of getting a bargain price for something, you know, while this is going on, you know. So, you know, look at those companies that are affected by the China situation, and you know, make a list of those companies after you've looked at them, you know, whether they make sense to you, and then you can set up some kind of plan, you know, where you might want to leg into them, you know. Pick it up a little bit lower each time, and you know, so you can set up a good plan right now.
Instead of just jumping in.
Exactly. So, at any rate, till next week, take care. We'll be back next week.
Have a good weekend.
Yep.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.